Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Wow.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you. Hope everybody's having a glorious Thursday. How are we all doing?
Splendid.
Holy catfish!
Oh.
Just felt like some Steve Rabel for a second.
Yeah. There's
no bad days when basketball's playing. What's going on?
Oh, sure there are.
No.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be some dark days. There's going to be dark days, but it's back tonight, full swing. Let's go. And look, we were blessed with Maction again last night.
No, babe.
We were blessed with Maction again last night. And great NBA stuff, too. Blazers not playing, it really allows you to enjoy basketball.
Wow.
It's true.
It's about the little things, though.
Am I wrong?
Check back in about February 16th and see how I'm doing.
I mean, when you watch a team and all you're looking for is like...
development.
Moderate improvements on night-to-night basis, you're going, meh. That gets taxing. I know more people that have not watched a single Blazer game now than any other year, including last year.
Really?
Including... because there were people that wanted to see Scoot out of the gate last year.
Fair.
And then... albeit this is very early, then they watched and were like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Now, there's more people that are just like, I just will check in, I'll box score watch, even though the games are, they're more accessible to watch right now. And it's the good product that is
it's interesting.
They're putting out there. Yeah. Yeah. I think KC, Lamar, and Brooke do a phenomenal job.
They're one of the best broadcast teams in the NBA, hands down.
Tonight is actually on the K2 Channel 2.
Yeah.
It's not the 2.2, it's the OG 2.
I think that's been a tough one, too, is that I know people who have tried to seek out some games are like, where is this? And I was like, well, what provider do you have? And unless they have Comcast or the satellite, or the antenna.
It's on Fubo now.
Unless they have that, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you then. But unless it's unless you have the antenna or Comcast, I'm like, it's 1170 if you have Comcast
most of
the
time. I don't know what channel or what.
1170 or 302.
I think it's a standalone on Fubo. I don't have Fubo and I've never used it, so.
Yeah.
But so, I know for a fact it's on there now.
I did notice, it was last week, the team announced they were putting out another 3,000 antennas for a giveaway.
And they want to keep doing
and I got
that.
Mine.
They can't find a place that has enough antennas to get them to them fast enough.
Sweet.
And like, they genuinely just want to keep giving them away.
But that's like the problem that they knew that this was coming is that you need to find a new channel that people are very unfamiliar with and how it all works. Because, you know, when digital antennas started to become a thing, everybody's like, nobody has that. I don't need to worry about that. You know, I can just use cable for all the things that I watch,
Are we really going back to rabbit ears?
No, it's not. They're
no,
like
I know
a
we're
square
not,
now.
Yeah.
They're a square.
They are a square.
So no, we're not going rabbit ears. They're squares.
But that's us old folks, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, you know how much tinfoil I wasted trying to get a good signal? I didn't have cable till I was like 12. Like, we didn't have that opportunity where I lived.
Yeah.
And
oh, we had the opportunity. My parents were just cheap.
Yeah, we just couldn't do it. Like, it was like either that or you had like one of the big ass satellite dishes, like one of the big, big ones. We weren't doing that.
Yeah, that was my grandparents' house outside of Nehalem.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Gigantic satellite dish.
You know, I love this kid, and I coached a kid whose name was Bay. And I was like, that's a cool name, man. Like, where'd you get it? Is it like family name? He's like, oh, I'm named after Nehalem Bay. And I was like, so he went with Bay? And he's like, yeah. He's one of my favorite kids of all time. Yeah. I love him to death.
Absolutely.
He is. He's one of my favorites, but I'm like, could have been like Newport.
Bay. Depot.
Coos. He's one of my favorite kids ever. I love him to death. Yeah. What up, Bay?
My old grandparents living off of Highway 53 in God's Valley Road.
Okay, I've got a question for anybody that's out here. Neither one of you guys drive Teslas, right?
No.
Really?
No, you don't.
I feel like you know.
Okay. I have a question about Teslas. And how easy it is to maybe change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. Because there was a car driving on my way in the middle lane at an absurdly slow level. The only thing that saved me from not just losing my S was they were not in the left lane. They were at least in the middle lane. They were driving on a highway 35 miles an hour.
In the middle lane?
In the middle lane. And there were people that were like riding her rear and then just being like, oh my gosh, and going around.
I feel like this is that Fred Armisen gif just says straight to jail.
Yeah. Like they would just zoom up and then like, oh my gosh. And so when I passed, you know, she was giving this to the people like out the window that were passing her. And she was going like 5.5, like 55. Mm-hmm. That's the speed limit. Flashing that. And I was like, that's weird. And then I looked down, and you know how the conversion miles per hour to kilometers per hour is on our speedometer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was going 55 kilometers per hour.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Which is like, it's about like 35 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, somewhere in there. And she was getting very upset at the people that were passing her in her defense, to her, it was a very high rate of speed. She thought we were all like driving 100 probably.
No, listen, this is the thing.
Here's my question though.
There is no in her defense.
Is it easy to change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour in a Tesla? Because that was the only thing that I could think of was why this person would be upset that literally everybody on the road was passing her.
Okay.
There were some people that were honking. I did not honk.
I think we need some help from our Tesla drivers out there.
Yeah.
Because we don't know if it's an actual, like, you know, physical speedometer.
Well, it's a digital one. I've been in a Tesla. I just don't know how. We don't have like the conversion thing that
on most cars, you've got on your speedometer, you've got the MPH versus the kilometers, per hour and such. And, but that's,
yeah, was, I don't,
if you're getting lapped by everybody on both sides, you got to figure your stuff out.
It was obscenely slow. Given the flash in the 5.5 was like, I'm going, yeah. It is. It's 55 miles per hour.
Yeah. Do we need Nate Margazzi here on SNL again?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin, the orange O guy, says 55 kilometers per hour is about 46, 47. She probably thought she was going 60 or 65, right? Like, I'm going fast right now, and you guys are not obeying the speed limit.
How could you not notice?
Just
like
read the room, lady. Read the room.
That actually is like you have to feel like you're crawling at that point.
There's bad drivers everywhere.
You're not wrong.
This could just be a bad driver, and maybe I'm giving a little, well, far too much credit that there was some sort of, the wires were crossed, and she mistake the kilometers for miles, but whoa, Nelly.
Yeah, it's certainly something.
That was something to behold, and I wonder how long. I almost wanted to follow her to her destination.
Just to see.
And just be like...
There's been so many times I've wanted to do something like that. And I'm like, you know what? That's just... No.
You're not going to be road raging.
It's not going to end well.
But you're going to be like, what were you doing? What were you thinking you were doing? Do you know that you were going at least 10 miles under the speed limit? At least?
Bare minimum?
What's funny is now, so the other day, not this past week, the week before that, because it was the kids' last week of soccer practice and such, right? And we're leaving from PCC Rock Creek and turning left on a 185th, and there was a Tesla, and I knew exactly what this guy was going to do because he was super aggressive. And anywho, long story short, he did exactly what I thought he was going to do, and I laid on my horn and gave him a gigantic finger. And both my kids were in the car. Yeah. And ever since then, my dearly beloved second grader, every time she's a Tesla, she's like, Dad, do I hate that Tesla too?
Wow.
She's like, Dad, I hate Teslas.
Start him young.
Hate Teslas. Which, by the
good
way,
place to be.
Our next door neighbor also has a Tesla.
Okay. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. I have to ask. Was she an old? Great question. Mm. No. Not an old.
So just dumb.
Maybe.
There's a different question I want to ask, but I will refrain because I enjoy being employed.
Was there anything else about her that stood out?
No. No. No.
No? Mm-mm. Nothing distinguished at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I mean, well, she was wearing glasses.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
if
that's
they
what
were,
I was talking about.
Nothing oddly stereotypical about
not,
this person.
No.
Okay.
See, I do not know if she
it,
was.
I tried to leave it unsaid, and you tried to go say it.
Yeah. No. She was not. She was driving again. She was driving a Tesla.
Okay.
It was a white Tesla.
Mm. White.
It wasn't. It wasn't a
white.
It was not a Cybertruck.
I saw an old woman driving a Cybertruck the other day, and I was like, oh, this person's going to kill people.
Dude, I saw a great meme of somebody in a with a Ferrari. He's like, had to park in between these two dumpsters. And I'll be damned if, like, you just glanced at it, you'd be like, yeah, he's parked in between two dumpsters. Just two silver bricks. It looked like... It was a great little meme.
I wish it was dumpsters.
Yeah.
I have one. I'm afraid this is going to derail things even more.
No, you're not.
I mean, it's going to. But
you're not afraid.
Casey Holdall had a tweet last night that sparked a conversation with my wife and I where anytime you're at a place where there's like a long line, like... Shake Shack. You ever been in the line's always, packed. And even if you use the touch
screen, the mobile
thing,
order,
whatever.
Yeah.
But it's still packed.
I'll go to the old Beaverton Shake Shack.
Yeah, but they make a fine
burger.
But places that you like.
And a good milkshake.
But again, menu, pretty limited.
Yeah.
It's not
like
massive menu.
It's basic.
But it's also you're in line for a while. And then you see people that the people that are in front of you, they get up to the freaking register. And
I don't know what I want.
And I just want, that's like a murderable offense.
No, I will agree with you here.
You on that.
If you're going to stand in line for 15, 20 minutes, you look at that damn menu board and you figure out
you better have sorted through every single permutation of look, if you want to
get up to the counter and I don't want to hear.
The only question I want that's other than what you're going to order is if you're let's say you're a street vendor or something like that. And you're like, which do you like better? Like, you've never been there.
Fair enough.
The acceptable question.
Fair enough.
Like, but you're, like, deciding between two things.
But that's not a Shake Shack.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That, but like, the worst is when you hear the, what's good?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, have you ever been to a McDonald's before?
What's good here?
Try the filet of fish.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, I just, for the love of God, and Casey made a great point. Not only should you know what you want, you should know, like, the way to order it and the cadence to, like, keep this thing moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My wife always gives me crap because I have drive-through anxiety.
Really?
Yes.
Go on.
I don't even know what that means.
Does the butthole grab the seat?
No. It's that when I get up to the drive-through, I want to spit out my order and have it ready to go. And I don't want it to be like, it's the same kind of thing where I go and turn to my wife. She's like, maybe I'll do a Big Mac this time and a Diet Coke or whatever. Come on, tell me your order. What do we want here? Let's keep this moving.
Yeah.
That's my drive-through anxiety.
Okay.
You
want the other people in your vehicle to be locked and loaded.
I want them to be
the
ready.
The only problem, though, is that, like, if it is somebody's first time to an establishment, it can be hard.
Do the necessary research.
Look, this is
the perfect example.
There are not a ton of times where I absolutely agree with Danny wholeheartedly, but this is one of those.
Cell phones exist, man. Like, you can look at the menu before you go.
Yeah.
Well, I am pro, don't hop in line until you're ready.
Yes.
And here's
the easiest thing to do.
Google me, bitch.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a newer restaurant down the street from where I live. I've been there probably 5-6 times. Really tasty. The owners are great. I always order to go. That would just bang in and out real quick. And I'm in there, and there's two people in front of me. First couple, or I should say, there's two groups in front of me. First couple, they make their order. Bloop, they sit down. The normal ordering. The people in front of me, they make their order, and then when they get done with their order, the woman proceeds to ask about 13 different things on the menu. Oh, this looks good. What's in it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. You made your order. Go sit down. Get out of my way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get your phone out, lady.
You have exceeded your time.
You can do that when you go to the pickup window.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there like, oh, and this went on. I'm not kidding. For like 12, 15 minutes.
Really?
And I finally was like, hey, guys, I'm just here to pick up an order.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to be that guy, but I was like,
yeah.
My food was ready 10 minutes ago.
I forget who the artist is that did the song, but it's basically the move, be, get out the way.
Yeah, no.
Is that Ludacris?
It's 100%.
Hey, ooh, did I nail it?
Yes, you nailed it.
Did I do that right?
Oh,
did I do that correctly?
We've got an answer here. Eugenio on the YouTube chat.
Eugenio, I'm sure, probably.
Whatever. Unlike the analog speedometer in many cars that scales for both kilometers per hour and miles per hour, in Teslas you toggle to either miles per hour or kilometers per hour in the display menu, so you can only see one or the other at a time.
Was that a kilomile an hour?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Another way Elon is killing this country.
I bet she accidentally toggled and she thought she was going like 65 and she was only going 40. Or 45. Because when I look down, like, the 60 was, like, right around, like, 40, 45-ish.
Again, what kind of blinders do you have to have on? Is she wearing those gigantic-ass blue blockers from the 90s? Well, and she's just not paying attention? You've got to see everybody scrolling past you and
maybe
just
she
screaming
was,
by.
Maybe she was sniffing her own farts there. I don't know. All right. Well, there we go. Solving the world's problems here. I think food cart pods should have, like, rules when you enter.
Yes.
Like, you know, don't hop in line until you're ready to order. You can look at the menu. You know, maybe we have, like, a holding pen, and then we have a line.
Ooh, there you go.
You know, where you're in the holding pen until you're ready, and then it's like double dutch, man. When you're ready, you just go. You just figure out that time where you hop in that line. If you know what you're getting, you bypass that holding pen. But what we know
we
of
need
people
more FAQs. We need more frequently asked question boards on food charts.
People in the holding pen, you could just wallpaper that thing with.
That's what I mean.
With nothing but, you know, menu, what's in everything. You know, just go from there. I think that this is we're onto something here. But we know that people are dumb and they'd be like, I know what I want. And then they get up there and be like, what's in this?
You cannot be serious.
Yep. Ooh, a two question max. How about we do that? How about we do that? That came in on the Vancouver Ford text line.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
Sir, that's question three. You're going to have to go back to the back of the line.
Exactly.
You
got to move back.
Back.
You have already outreached your allotted allowance of questioning.
Yep. All right.
Time to start over.
Oh, man. Let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Hmm.
You ready?
I didn't derail it too far. Just mildly.
I didn't think you derailed it at all.
Okay.
That's always our first segment.
I mean,
we always go everywhere.
I'm not sure where you would have derailed that in that segment.
Oh, well, he'll find a way.
Yeah. All right. Look, today's like a grab baggy day. We'll have our picks today, against Indeed. The spread. Blazers are back. Who are we going to see?
And how's it going to work?
Yeah. I got questions. Let's start there. Next on The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. Want a girl with
extensions and a hair. All right, Portland Trailblazers are in San Antonio. They take on the Spurs tonight. Shaden Sharp is questionable. Game time decision.
Questionable question mark?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's questionable, but also Robert Williams was activated for the last game, and we got a DNP in that one.
Are we probably looking for the basement at the Alamo?
Are we going to look more for Robert Williams or Shaden Sharp tonight?
I think they're, number one, they're both going to play. I don't think they're clearing Shaden to be questionable without him going. The team did practice yesterday. It's their first practice in 2 weeks, which is kind of, I think they wanted to maybe get a practice in for Rob too. Which is my, he probably didn't play against the Pels, that and the fact that the Pels had like a 1.5 big men.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bunch of guards, and it wasn't probably a conducive place for him to play. Whereas San Antonio or Minnesota, there's a bit more size for him to kind of be aligned with. But Shaden, I don't know. I haven't heard back whether or not he'll be kind of held to a back-to-back limit. Because Rob will. If Rob plays 12 minutes tonight, he won't play tomorrow. Like, that's a thing.
Well, I think with his injury history, he probably shouldn't be playing in back-to-backs again.
I don't think he's going to play in any unless it's one of those situations where he only plays like 4 minutes.
Especially when he's your backup big.
Yeah. And in all reality, they're trying to recoup value on him and likely move him. Because Donovan Clingan's not ready to start and probably won't be until next year.
And will he take, though, Donovan Clingan minutes when he does play?
I think that is the most likely scenario, is that on a couple of nights, maybe Donovan doesn't play or he only plays a half and everybody's losing their mind. The same thing we did with Scoot last year of like, he needs to play 36 minutes. No, they don't. It's fine. It's a couple months. Chill. I don't think Rob's really going to cut into DA's minutes. Because for all of the, well, DA hasn't done this. Like, DA's been their most reliable and consistent player this season.
Yeah, he has been.
It's him and two. Like, I don't think you can really argue with that. He's opened the season with 8 straight double-doubles. He's their consistent rebounder. Like, does he ebb and flow in some of his lesser games? Yes. But you need him out there. Like, that's part of this. But as it pertains to Shaden, Shaden's going to very likely come off the bench. And for everybody freaking out about that, coming out of training camp for the second year in a row, what did we hear about Tumani Kamara? He has to play. He has to get minutes. He's taking a leap. He comes out, and again, I just said, DeAndre Ayton, Tumani Kamara have been your two most consistent players this season.
They have been.
So you don't take Tumani Kamara out of the lineup.
And they also need some sort of scoring and creation off the bench, too.
Because it is woefully lacking right now.
And you're not getting it from Scoot Henderson, who kind of looks like a zombie at times on the floor.
The last couple games, he's been like that. And then Delano Banton has kind of been that scoring punch, you know, the closer.
When shots go, Delano Banton's great.
Oh, yeah. But when they don't,
he still shoots.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like he knows his role. Like it is to go get buckets.
Yeah.
You don't make that hoop if you don't take the shot.
Yeah. You got to have the Dion Waiters mentality. I'd rather go 0 for 35 than 0 for 9 because 0 for 9 means you stop shooting.
Yeah.
So.
Bucket getters got to get buckets.
But this is what you hope. And this is the Chauncey Billupsism of rotations. You keep what you kill. He's demonstrated that this year. Delano Banton goes out there, hoops, gets another opportunity. Does it again, goes out, Denny's minutes get cut, and Delano closes that whole fourth quarter, right? Mm-hmm. Ryan Rupair had a little cameo.
That's the only minutes he played, too, right, Banton. Right?
But again, Chauncey went to that because Scoot didn't have the juice.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't have it, dude, like you need to know this is not how it's going to go. The only guys who I think are, like, quote-unquote immune to that or Ant, Jeremy, and DA because of their tenure and their years of success. So, and you could argue with that. It's fine. I don't care. But if you're a Blazers fan, what you want to see is you want to see Shaden Sharpe come off the bench and then come out hungry and go absolutely nuclear over the next 2 weeks and make it a very difficult decision. Does two move to the bench? Does Denny move to the bench? Look, the easy quote, you know, air quotes here, the easy fix for this is when they move Jeremy Grant.
When?
It's not an if. It's a when. Look, again, and I will say this. I love JG as a player. I love him even more as a person. The dude is a great guy. There's very few people in the NBA I enjoy talking to more than him. He knows what the deal is. The team knows what the deal is.
May I ask a terribly unfair question?
Yeah, go.
Has Denny Avdija made a shot yet this season?
No, he's struggling to shoot. And that's the thing. But here's the thing.
Like, I initially was not super excited about his acquisition, and then I read about some things. I was like, okay, this could be a good thing. This could be a good thing.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about Denny.
Hold on, Russ. I think it's unfair that you ask that, and then you get really mad when they win a game.
No, listen.
Ooh.
You know, like, this is the conundrum that a lot of Blazer fans are in, and I don't want to single you out. There's so many people that want, like, why aren't they playing better?
You're not wrong.
And then you go, well, they're winning. They're winning too many games, yeah, and this guy's not playing better. And that's the question that I have with Shaden Sharpe too. If Shaden
you're not
Sharpe,
wrong, that's completely fair.
If Shaden Sharpe lives up to the offseason that he had, mm-hmm, right, where by all reports and all accounts from a local and national level, yep, it was like he is primed to pop.
He's finding it
right. If he comes out and he plays like that, they've already lost two games by, what, 2 points, mm-hmm, and 6 points? Mm-hmm. Do they start peeling off wins that you don't want to peel off against?
I don't think so, but because here's the thing. Well,
you, I guess there's only, what, one game left against the Pelicans?
Yeah, in January. Here's the thing. If you look at where the Blazers are at, just using cleaning the glass here, so if you go to NBA.com, your numbers will be a little bit different because it's filtered for garbage time, right? Okay. The Blazers currently have the 26th best offense in the league.
All right.
That's atrocious. They also have the 10th best defense.
Yeah. Yeah, like this is like the upside down of the Terry Stotts era.
Like they are a good defense. Like that's a real thing. And the thing about this is if you don't have the offense, the NBA, the game, the way it is played right now, if you think about the NFL and how far the pendulum swung to the quarterback era, that golden era of, you know, 2011, 2018 of just like every quarterback putting up 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns and 4 interceptions kind of a deal. That's the same kind of thing the NBA is in right now as far as the offense being juiced to the tits, just absolutely out of control too much. And we need the they reined it back in post All-Star break last year with the officials going, I'm going to take this whistle here that I blow 47 times a game, and I'm going to put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
And it made games so much better.
To your point, the number one defense in the NFL right now is the Tennessee Titans.
Ding, 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 ding. There's too many ways for the offense to compensate to beat that, and it's just a math problem of three is better than is more than two.
Yeah.
And when you get that many threes up, you can balloon scoring numbers just it's the first thing you look at in the box score now.
Yeah.
How many threes did a team make? Because that's the single biggest indicator of success in the NBA right now. I hate it, but it is.
Thank you, Steph Curry.
And, yeah, to an extent. But the Blazers, because their defense is in that upper third, let's just say the upper half, because it's going to change that tonight, you know, in the early season stuff. What's actually interesting is the Blazers' defense is 10th, despite getting shellacked by the Thunder and the Warriors. Think about that. They have the 10th best defense in the league, and those two games exist out of eight.
Mm.
It's kind of impressive when you think about it. But because they don't have the offense to buoy it, night to night, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
Now, on the nights when Ant and Jeremy are hitting their shots, or if somebody else steps up into that role, then they're going to be feisty. But here's the thing. They're going to trade Jeremy. Like, that's... And that's...
That's a
consistency, even though he's struggling right now, over the course of 82 games, he is a consistency lever. Like, you pull that, and it's like, yeah, that's...
Okay.
And so I'm not too worried about the wins necessarily, but as it pertains to Denny, okay, I want to call this out, and I think this is kind of the creed of like, this is why the Blazers are probably going to look to move Jeremy and to optimize things, is right now they're just too crunched when they're healthy. And if they get Tease back in a couple of days, they're going to have a fully healthy roster for the first time I can remember.
Oh, look at that.
It's kind of crazy to think about.
Honestly, never last year.
And the year before that, it was the same. Like, yeah. I mean, this is a team that has been battered by injuries over the last couple of years. So you go back to man games lost, it is. And that's even before you throw out the tanking stuff. They've just been beat to hell.
Huh.
Denny, when played at the four, which is just under 100 possessions this year, is in the 97th percentile in on-off rate. So basically, they are 20 points better per 100 possessions.
When he's on the floor at the four. Okay, at the four.
And I think that's where he's able to take advantage of his opportunities the most is when he... It's a lot like when people are like, Jeremy needs to play the three. It's like, no. Jeremy at the three loses a lot of his advantages because Denny at the four, now he can be a guy who's maybe a step quicker, or they aren't really sure with how to match up with him, and he's able to take advantage of those mismatches a little bit more. But outside of Denny's shooting, the playmaking, the blocks, the steals, the rebounding, like everything else is great.
Yeah.
And so it's super useful for them to have Denny on the floor. But they are going to have a minutes crunch between basically now and the trade deadline.
Okay. Hey, let's go to the NFL. Jim Harbaugh, he got some jokes, my dude.
Hmm.
He got some jokes. And one of them is not his ability to win football games. That after us with SportsCenter. Jim Harbaugh's at it again. Not only is he turning around a team that is void of any wide receivers, still finding a way to win games with, I don't know, the best scoring defense in the National Football League. They've only given up 101 points this year.
Like, that's an insane number. It's an insane number.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they give up yards. They don't give up points. The next closest is the Pittsburgh Steelers with 119. And then third is the Kansas City Chiefs at 147. They've given up six fewer touchdowns than the Chiefs have this year. Harbaugh is a magician. We know this about Jim Harbaugh. We know he's a damn good coach. One thing that his time at Michigan and almost getting fired, having to take a pay cut, and then the success he found after he just said, I don't give a rip anymore what people think, is his personality is starting to come out, and he has zero filter whatsoever.
Yeah, the middle of the season is... It's always critical that way. You know, like Bill Belichick talks about the middle eight in a football game. I mean, there's a middle eight in a season too. You could break it down, you know, that way. you know, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, those are important games. You know, the only joke I know is, why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. 6, 7, 8, 9. Those are big games. Blue Twisted Steel.
I like football. Guys that like football, they like me back.
If there's nothing more football guy than the only joke I know, why is 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9.
Because 7, 8.
It would be funny. And then he looks around at the room like, have you guys heard this one before? Because, you know, because 7, 8, 9, huh? It's like the numbers, guys. It's a double entendre there.
It would be funny.
Hey, you can eat a number. You guys get it?
If that was the only joke he actually knew, like, that would make it even funnier.
I simultaneously love and hate Jim Harbaugh.
He's great.
He is great. He is. And I hate him.
He is great. I mean, and then he says things like this after games.
Hey, fellas, that's one great job now. One great job. Imposing your will. That was, man, nothing warms the cockles of the heart like going into another man's stadium and imposing your will to get in that ring.
Dude, when I heard that, all I'm thinking is like old Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
You know, like that is impose your will. He started off real good. Like, this is going football guy through and through. And then he's like, I've used a lot of material over my years. I'm going with warm the cockles of my heart.
I'm cooking on your grill.
Yeah.
Going with what's available, you know?
He's
a lunatic.
An absolute lunatic. But here's the thing about
it. In a good way.
Surrounds himself with really good coaches, always has. And then he gets buy-in from his guys that, whether it is college or the NFL, that's the hardest thing to do, is to transfer from the college game to the National Football League and still get that buy-in. Obviously, Harbaugh, his success that he had as a player in the National Football League, that helped him with winning guys over at his first stop when he was in San Francisco, right? But his success that he had at San Francisco, it now gets guys to automatically buy in when he is in LA with the Chargers. He is a damn good football coach.
Yeah, currently has the highest winning percentage of all active coaches in the NFL. It's 68.8%.
Well, and
it's crazy.
That's an insane number, by the way.
It doesn't matter if we buy in or if we think that he's crazy. It's about the dudes in that locker room and if they buy in and believe him and want to stand by him.
And the biggest thing is that whatever he's saying, he has to believe it. Because if he doesn't believe it, if he doesn't buy into it, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't get you anywhere. No. Anyway,
it's just coach speak.
And that is every great coach, right? That is why Nick Saban was great and Bill Belichick. They did it with being complete red asses, right? Like guys like Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, they get that buy-in because they are like addicted to the game and know that they will out-scheme you. And they get that buy-in from their players because they go out and what do? They continually out-scheme people. Every week.
Yeah.
It is.
Because it's the only way they can win right now because there's a talent deficit on that team.
It is the trust that you get by just that full-fledged belief. Where guys lose locker rooms is when they say it, but they're not living it too, right? And Harbaugh is an absolute lunatic, but that's why his guys trust him, though, is because he is an absolute lunatic.
They know he's a lunatic for them.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Guy absolutely believes it. He is, the Harbaugh family are the O'Doyles.
No, they are.
They are. Jack Harbaugh started it, and he said the same damn thing.
O'Doyle rules.
Nobody has it better than we do is the exact same as O'Doyle rules.
Yes.
It is 100% the truth. And you know what? They're going to believe that until they drive that bus right off the cliff. I mean, it is 100%. That is how they are going to live and die. Mm-hmm. And you look at it. So John Harbaugh, successful coach. Jim Harbaugh, successful coach. Jack Harbaugh, successful coach. they have a sister. She's married to Tom Crean.
Who, really good coach.
Well, but I think also notorious red ass.
Yes.
But guess what?
In a fun and lovable way.
His dudes loved him, though.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, because he lives the crazy.
Yeah. The family, they got a type.
Yeah.
They got a type. And they stick with it.
It's pretty successful. It's working out for him pretty well right now.
Love to see it.
Working out pretty well for him right now. I love Jim Harbaugh. And look, this Chargers team, we talked about this the other day. Like, are they the most talented team?
God, no.
No. No, they still, I mean, Ladd McConkey is their receiving core right now.
All of it.
Well, and is he the most Jim Harbaugh receiver ever?
I love that guy. You know? Drinks a lot of milk. A
lot of milk.
But you had, when you have in the NFL, the star-studded receiving cores, quarterback and receiver relationships, whether it's Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, right? You can have Debo and Brock Purdy. You've got Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Hell, Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown are on that level right now, right? You have those connections. Herbert has got Ladd friggin' McConkey. Yeah. And they're finding a way to do it because they play really good defense. They control the line of scrimmage. And that's how they're going to win. The Harbaugh, it's a tried and true way of winning in football.
And that's a team that unloaded Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
Yeah, but they also they unloaded them at a perfect time.
They're washed and they're hurt, broken. But yeah. still good receivers.
Because 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. We'll see. But is Dan Campbell the spiritual successor to Jim Harbaugh? Like, I mean, I know this, because look, I think the Harbaugh we're getting now is a little bit less low T.
Yeah, but Campbell's still very high T.
But I think, I mean, you go back to Harbaugh, just even his 49ers teams. Yeah. He was higher T then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the years have been there. Like, he's getting older.
I think Campbell might be higher T, but he's still not quite, he hasn't reached the crazy level yet.
The man said we're going to bite off the kneecaps like day one. So, I don't know. He's pretty nuts.
Four shots of espresso every morning.
Yeah, and I think that we're still not at the Harbaugh level yet.
No. You want to stick on our psycho coach tour? Because there is a they suck tour that is starting this week in the world of college football. And one guy who is becoming a spirit animal for a lot of folks out there, he called his shot almost a year ago. And now he gets it all in a row. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. The Indiana Hoosiers are 9-0 on the season, ranked 8th in the initial college football playoff rankings.
Is that a good spot to be?
I would say so, especially when it's the University of Indiana football. I mean, think of how bad Indiana has been in football. It just... Think of what's the best Indiana team that you can remember? There's two that come to mind.
Randall L.
Anton Randall L. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then the Michael Penix year with Kalen DeBoer as the offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, big Penix energy.
Yeah, you get dinged up even in that year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's it. They have an all-time record at Indiana of 491. 690 in 38 in 126 seasons of football.
Ew, that's stinky.
9-0 for the first time. Double-digit wins, obviously, first time that's happened all season. They are just crushing teams. And a lot of it has to do with Kurt Cignetti coming in, bringing in a bunch of guys through the portal. All of them have clicked, and they have been absolutely lights out.
Google me, bitch.
Remember when Kurt Cignetti was introduced as the head coach of Indiana? We played this audio at the time because it was just like, okay, guy. This is Kurt Cignetti back on December 1st of last year. So almost a year. He said this at an IU basketball game at Assembly Hall.
Hey, look, I'm super fired up about this opportunity. I've never taken a
didn't hear that, I don't take a backseat to anybody. Okay? Purdue sucks, and so does Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Okay?
Man knows his audience.
He said that December 1st of last year. They are now 9-0.
Man likes to write checks that he cashes later.
The final three games of the season for the Indiana Hoosiers, starting this weekend, Michigan, Ohio State,
and
Purdue.
Hey!
They get all three of those teams at the last three of this season. You tell me that the Big Ten schedulers don't have a sense of humor? I think they've got a phenomenal sense of humor.
Let me go ahead and write this down here real quick. Let's get that.
I love
that, and
how
it works out.
I think that perhaps, I don't think there are any two bigger, like, rah-rah, get your team gall darn ready guys than Kurt Cignetti and Dan Lanning. Like, they just both get it.
They buy into it. They believe it.
Yeah.
And, like, Cignetti, the they suck tour is going to be my favorite push to the end of the college football season. Not just because Indiana's 9-0, they can be the ultimate party crasher in the college football playoff that nobody, and I mean nobody, saw coming to the college football playoff this year. And they can do it with perfection. You add on top of it that the new head coach at a program that went 3-9, 4-8, 2-10 their last three seasons, comes in and he says, Purdue sucks, and so does Michigan and Ohio State. And then he has the opportunity to back it up with a perfect season. Are you kidding me? Like, if you don't like Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, something is wrong with you, or you went to Purdue. But there is something, even if you're an Ohio State or a Michigan fan, you, as those two fan bases,
you have to begrudgingly be like,
no,
back it up.
You're looking at it right there going, I wish that guy was leading our team.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea you could milk a cat.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Anyway, that was.
If you are.
I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
I still don't know how that fits in, but I'm here for all the drops.
I'm sure Kurt Cignetti is, you know.
I'm here for all the drops.
I would love to hear him say that.
But you have a coach if you are an Ohio State fan, you're sitting there going, Ryan Day, the guy who is continually on the hot seat despite not doing nothing but winning, 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 and winning. The one problem that Ohio State fans have is he doesn't feel like a big-time coach. He doesn't feel like the guy who is leading a program of the stature of Ohio State.
He never feels like he's on top of it. It feels like he's always trying to keep from drowning.
There were so many Michigan fans, college football fans, that watched that Oregon and Michigan game last weekend and said, I felt bad for Sharon Moore because they do the tight shot on him on the sideline and he looked like he was lost, right? And they're sitting there going, we won a national championship last year and our coach left, our defensive coordinator left, we lost so much talent to the NFL. We still have more talent here when Sharon Moore took over than what Kirk Cignetti inherited at Indiana because we're Michigan. And you're going, we would have loved to have a guy like him. Even if you're a Purdue fan, you're going Ryan Walters versus Kirk Cignetti. Who you taking? Taking Kirk Cignetti ten times out of ten.
We talked about this. But is Cignetti the kind of guy, though, that at Michigan, at Ohio State, at USC could work? Because we talked about the idea of like him not having the recruiting class types as opposed to the chip on your shoulder types that I think he's new era Chris Peterson.
He says that what he looks for in a prospect is, can you play? Mm-hmm. That's where he starts. Like, can you do it? And then he looks at mobility, frame. Can we develop this guy? Mm-hmm. Does he have between the ears what it takes to operate at a high level? That is Chris Peterson
through and through.
And that is kind of the same mold that, you know, the Mike Riley Oregon State teams had, which was, we are going to take guys, we're going to develop them, and we're going to mold them. We're even seeing this. Jonathan Smith did a phenomenal job at Oregon State, but he's catching heat at Michigan State right now because they want instant success. They want high caliber recruits. That's not him. Cignetti would get eaten alive by USC, Ohio State, and Michigan fan base because you're not signing five star after five star. You're looking for the guy that fits what you do, and he wins. And Ohio State, Michigan, you're supposed to be, hey, if we come knocking, you should be wanting to come.
Because you're an NFL pipeline school, and right? You're not just going there to play football. You're going there to play in the NFL.
You take into account Kurt Cignetti's also 63 years old right now, even though he like coaches and acts like he's in his 40s.
Right.
He's a guy that you'd go, all right, we bring this guy in. He's not gonna last here very long anyways, and we're going to have to turn over our coach again. Mm-hmm. You know, we want a coach for 20 years who's going to be dominant for 20 years. That ship has largely sailed across the world of college football, right? Like Nick Saban, he didn't last 20 years at Alabama.
You get 10 years out of a guy nowadays, that's you're doing great.
10 to 15, man. That's it.
I feel like we have a somewhat similar situation and a comp to today's Kurt Cignetti in Kalen DeBoer. Because that guy, he had a couple of quick stops, and he won everywhere he went, mm-hmm. and that's all he ever did. And now he's going to Alabama, and he kind of, you know, look.
He's figuring out the recruiting, though. I mean, they're
still effing around and finding out, but yes. So it's Kurt Cignetti's tale is not yet done, much in the way that Kalen DeBoer is kind of finding out, too. Yeah. Is he going to go down that road, or is he going to keep succeeding wherever he goes?
Yeah, we'll find out. You mentioned Dan Lanning, though, and Ducks versus Them is now going viral. If you don't watch a Duck versus Them every week on Oregon socials, they post sometimes 12 to 20 minutes, depending on the game, video that is really well done every week of behind the scenes of Oregon football and the kind of the message. This week's message, are you not entertained?
Mm.
And it explained a lot, and it's starting to go viral now. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.